two or three brains are better than one, right? And basically, you are not only doing it with your own experience, but you're working with other people's experience. They also look at your underwriting. They also say, hey, Sanjay, did you think about this one? This is the pitfalls in this one. Because we all go through our experience, but having collective minds brings more value to the deal than just one person doing it all by himself.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Sanjay Hegde is founder and president of Blue Ring Investors LLC and brings to the company more than 15 years experience establishing customer relationships and managing multi-million dollar corporate accounts for companies in the U.S. and abroad. For the past 15 years as a top-level corporate executive operating in highly competitive environments, Mr. Hedge has consistently provided leadership to drive multi-million dollar revenue growth through innovation, cost-effective operations, and cultivation of strong business alliances. He's been involved in 150-plus multifamily units, both as a GP and an LP. Sanjay, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sam.
Pleasure's mine. Same three questions I ask everyone who comes to the show. Quickly, can you tell us, where'd you start, where are you now, and how did you get there?
Yeah, I started off pretty much when I came to the U.S. in 2001, pretty much on the floor, actually, in a battery company, and then later on scaled myself up to become the vice president of sales and marketing, director of sales for Americas and Asia. So it was a beautiful journey. At the same time, when you start earning, people always tell you that, hey, real estate is a great place to put your money in, but then you learn very quickly where and where not to put your money in. So I started off with single family rental properties and finally decided to focus more on multifamily and later on into syndication. So that was my journey.
Where and where not? Can you give us some more insight onto that? What were the lessons learned when you say that there's some experience tied to that comment? What does that mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. So one of the things that everybody thinks about is, hey, real estate investment is a great investment, especially the first thing that you do is end up buying single family rental properties. But the challenges that come with it are tremendous. Like, for example, something breaks down, you got to fix it on your own or find somebody else to do it, right? That costs you money. Say that there is a problem with one of your tenants leaves you, you got to fill that place. If not, it's not bringing in any money for you. So that's another challenges that comes with it. Obviously, you're putting in your hard-earned money into it, and also it affects your credit score. So all of these things affect you as a single family owner. But when it comes down to multifamily syndication, investing in one of those, you're just owning the property as a small unit of the property at a lesser investment. That's number one, which means lesser risks involved in it. The banks are not going to go after you because you are not the guarantor behind the whole thing. Obviously, you don't have to get into the hassle of your tenants calling you and saying, hey, I need plumbing issues or my AC is down. Those are like huge ones. And plus, you are not the one who's investing to make all that happen because you're not alone in there. It's a team effort, right? So all of those things you see that does make a big impact. And plus, you are not a part of the day-to-day grind, the day-to-day things that you need to keep the tenant happy. So overall, when you make an investment in syndication, you put your money in there, you let experienced operators manage the properties for you, and you reap the benefits. So compared to all the other hassles that you have to go through being a single family owner.
Yeah, and you're speaking more from the perspective of a limited partner or from a general partner?
Basically, from a limited partner's perspective, I'm talking about as a passive investor. But as a general partner, obviously, as a syndicator, you do have a lot of responsibilities that you take care of, especially for making sure that your investors are safe.
Yeah, that's certainly true. I think it's interesting the points you bring up there about being a limited partner. Like, you am a limited partner in several deals and a general partner as well. And I'll tell you that the limited partner side of things is very attractive. There's nothing like getting a check every month and your phone never ringing.
Absolutely. And honestly, this is exactly how I got into multifamily syndication, is because while I was having single family rentals apartments, what I did was I actually invested in storage houses and passively invested in storage houses and multifamily deals. And I started seeing that I was actually making money from them versus losing money in my single family homes. So I wanted to know more about it. So I dug more into it, learned more about it, got into mentorship program with Ari Mentor, and did that over a period of time. And I learned that how the real business works and how it can generate more revenue for investors. And I said, hey, I would like to help those who really want to invest in passively and don't have the time to go through the hassles of running a multifamily. So I was like, okay, but how do you do that? You do that by educating your investors. I want to pass on all the information that I learned over the period of time through my mentorship program, as well as my personal experiences, so that others can make money just like I did.
Right. That's certainly compelling. Talk to us about the dangers you see from an uneducated investor.
Absolutely. I think understanding who's doing the syndication is the key, understanding the deal, asking the right questions, such as how do you look at return on investment versus return off investment, right? Like over a period of time, how is the deal structured is the key. What is the kind of experience that the syndicator has? What have they done over a period of time? So track record is important. Have they come across a difficult situation? Have they ever failed? I'll tell you, don't get discouraged when somebody says, yeah, we did fail in certain places, because guess what? If you've always been winning, then there will come a time when you are bound to fail. And guess what? You don't know how to fix this, right? So that's the whole thing. So it's all good to have a good team with you. Understanding the team who are in the syndication is also there. Asking questions about, hey, doing some due diligence on your own, trying to understand, okay, hey, you have this property. Is it near the sea level? Or is it in a flood zone? If there is a flood zone, are you planning on taking the flood insurance? Why not? What happens if you sell this property in, say, instead of 5 years, 3 years? What does that mean to me as an investor? So all of those things are some key things to ask, and not just listen to the syndicator and say, wow, this looks like a great deal.
Right. Yeah, there's certainly a lot to be vetted beyond the shiny, I guess we're probably not printing pamphlets anymore, but the shiny PDF you get sent to your email box.
I agree.
That's really fascinating. You hit on a lot of great topics here. You know, we always say there's three things that go into this. It's the team, first of all. Secondly, it's the market. And then third, of course, it's the deal itself. And those being in order of importance on what you should focus on. How did you overcome the experience and track record side of things when people came to you and you said, I'm just starting out and yet I'm raising money? What was your answer there?
Well, as I said, multifamily syndication is a team sport. You don't do this all by yourself. You work with a group of people, right? So you look at who the sponsors are. You look at who brought in the deal. You also look at what is the value that you're bringing in. So, okay, if you are the person who is managing investor relationships, obviously you want to have the track record with the people who have done this before. It's not like they're newbies. They haven't managed properties in the past. So you have to look at that part of it also and piggyback on their experiences.
Yeah, I think that's a valuable point there, because, I mean, even today, are you doing this on your own or are you still bringing other co-GPs when you guys take down a deal?
Yeah, we always work with all co-GPs, and that is how I work. Two or three brains are better than one, right? And basically, you're not only doing it with your own experience, but you're working with other people's experience. They also look at your underwriting. They also say, hey, Sanjay, did you think about this one? This is the pitfalls in this one, because we all go through our experience, but having collective minds brings more value to the deal than just one person doing it all by himself.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Talk to us about some of the things that those collective minds have helped you either avoid or do correctly.
Absolutely. Some of the things, especially underwriting, I'm a conservative person when it comes down to underwriting, and I look at things a lot differently, but still at the same time, it doesn't matter how conservative you think you are. There are people who are better at it and can do things much better, right? So there could be the certain times you would see that is when you're doing underwriting, you would look at certain expenses as just expenses, but then an experienced eye would look at it as, okay, let me dig into this a little bit more. Why do you think this month or a certain period you see that the water is more? Was it the same in the previous year or the year before? Was there a leak in this that was causing it? So those are the things that you can look into and you can actually find during your due diligence. I think due diligence is also a key part when you're doing the syndication. So a lot of people would have experienced certain things which you could notice that, okay, hey, that is something that I would have overlooked. So that's just a small example.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, in this business, people don't understand when you use the term leverage. Those small examples or those small things can play into the performance of the deal, especially as when it comes time for disposition.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's tremendous. Do you have any aha or my gosh, I'm so glad somebody looked at this and it was a pivot where you avoided a mistake?
I could definitely say the due diligence part of it is the key, where I've seen most of the things that experienced eyes can look at. Every time when we do a due diligence, we try to scope up the entire plumbing part of it. We want to make sure that the electricals are the right ones. So those were some aha moments, like things that's behind the wall that you normally don't see. When you walk in, you'll probably see that, okay, it's probably upgraded. It looks a little bit nicer. It's got a fresh coat of paint or what have you, because they would have said, hey, I've done some upgrades on this one. I have another 5 or 10 units or 30 units that needs upgraded. And then you can bring it to market rent. But there is more to that story than what are the things that they probably will have not done. Is it all just superficial that has been taken care of? How much of it is beneath or behind the walls that needs to be taken care of?
Tell us about your why. What motivates you to do what it is that you do?
I think the whys are, number one is when I first came to the United States in 2001, I started off in a rental house, in a rental property. And I saw that it doesn't matter how well you are or what's going on in your life. The main thing that everybody needs is the sense of security, feeling safe, living in a nice environment, coming back to what is a place called home. So that's number one, right? Number two is there are so many people out there who want to retire, but they put all their money into shares and bonds, and they think that they have a diversified portfolio. But in reality, it's not, because it's all driven by the market, right? So you might end up losing more money. And imagine when you're just about to retire and the market crashes.
Right.
How difficult is that going to be for you with all your money stocked up in one place, right? So I want to help both sides of the community, the ones who really want a safe place to live, a nice place to live in, at the same time, also help those who want to have a passive income, another source of revenue coming in. So that's that.
Right. I think that's fantastic. Talk to us about what you're seeing in the marketplace right now and how you guys are remaining competitive.
Well, I think, as I said, the market is really, really hot. People are paying, obviously, institutional finance is pretty much going after anything and everything and trying to buy left, right, and center, which does make syndication a little bit difficult for us who actually work with investors directly at their grassroots levels. So, as I said, our goal at the end of the day is not so much about the property, right? I don't fall in love with the property. I fall in love with the numbers. That's the key. And I look at it as like, does this investment on behalf of my investor brings money for my investors? If the answer is yes, then yes. And I try to go after the niche market or a smaller portfolio of 50 to 80 unit properties where the competition is a lot lesser compared to 200, 400 unit class A properties, which people find it to be very flashy and nice. It looks great. But at the same time, the C and the B properties and the smaller ones, which have lesser competition, better cash flow, and better returns for our investors is what I look at.
Right. How are you tackling management on those smaller properties?
When we try to buy properties, we try to buy by leveraging on properties that are close by, right? So if anything within like an 8-mile radius, 5-mile radius, now you have a property management that's already there that you put in place, and you bring in the star of property management companies in there and make sure that they actually are doing a good job on this one property. You leverage them for the next and the next. That way you pile it all together.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because then not only do you have shared economies of them managing multiple properties, but then you can get management for them. Because I know a lot of those smaller unit counts, it's difficult to get those to pencil with
exactly
bringing property management in. So that's tremendous. Where do you see this market going? One of the things that, and not that we're asking for the crystal ball in your office there, but we do see institutional money pouring into this space. We do see competition driving up. We see cap rate compression. Where do we go from here? And how are you positioning yourself to protect against downside risk?
Well, the thing is, I focus on Blue Ring Investors as a company. Me and my partners, we invest in emerging markets. That's number one. We look at the properties in the B and C class properties where we can do some value add and has a good back end. Obviously, one of the good things about having institutional fundings as well, and the big groups buying in all these bigger properties and trying to sell it at a much lower cap rate helps us also, because guess what? When the cap rate goes down, automatically it brings us, because we have already put in, there is meat on the bone where we put in the revenues necessary to bring it to the market rent, which improves the net operating income. And guess what? The cap rate going down, it only helps us get a better rate. So it's a win-win for everybody, right?
It's a very valid point there that certainly upon time to sell, it's a great, great place to be. Talk to us about the capital raise side of things. What's that process been like? What have you found challenging? And what have you found to be a successful way to raise capital?
The challenge always is, given the situation, and especially with the COVID times and everything, you'll notice that people are trying to hold on to their money more than actually spending money, right? Because there's uncertainty in the market. But honestly, if you really look at it, instead of holding on to that money that doesn't get you anything, it's always best to invest it in some place. And do it in the right way. That's all I'm trying to say. Just don't go all crazy with it. Make sure that you ask all the right questions, do the due diligence necessary, and make that investment. So I do see that, okay, there are certain people who are very, very scared. But at the end of the day, my job is out here to make sure that I educate my investors and talk to them through this entire thing. So that's pretty much one part of the challenge that comes in. It's like, you get too many questions, which is a good thing for me, because I love to educate my investors instead of just telling them, hey, this is a great deal.
Right. That's fantastic. What have you found to be some things in capital raising, maybe that you found more challenging than expected?
I think the biggest challenge that you see is that a lot of people just don't understand how the deal is structured when you're talking to them. They have great difficulty understanding, because some of them just don't get it where they're actually losing money. Like, for example, some might say, hey, I put my money into this fund and this fund is giving me 10% cash on cash. I'm like, okay. And you find that's a great deal. Like, okay, but you're giving me 7%, right? And I'm like, yeah, it's 7% cash on cash, but through the hold, you'll be making about like 19-20%, right? So now if you're looking at that, they're not looking at the same math in the same way. So it's all about educating your investors in like, hey, this is how you'll be actually be making more money instead of this one. I think smart investors understand that. People who are just getting started on it, they jump at, okay, hey, this looks like a great deal kind of a thing. And more than anything else, I think some people just look at the flashy A-class properties and they think, hey, this is a safe bet.
Right.
Because it looks nice. It's got this nice, beautiful pool, gym, and all of those things. It's got like 200, 400 units. It looks nice and big. But at the end of the day, it's like, what do you make out of this?
Right. That's a really interesting point you bring out. I was speaking with someone recently who is far more successful in the real estate realm than I am. And he looked at me and goes, you know, the syndication thing, I just don't understand that. He goes, that's really confusing. And I kind of like just cocked my head and I was like, wait, what? Like, you're supposed to be miles. Like, you're way ahead of me in this game and for far longer. But for him, it's always been joint ventures. It's always been his own capital.
Correct.
It's always been bank financing. I mean, it's been some very tried and true methods, and then just has never learned about syndication. He goes, man, that's a really confusing way to do business. And I'm like, well, to your point, educating your investors, teaching them how this works, why a 7 is better than a 10.
Exactly.
Things like that, I think, are tremendous. And it's also, I think, interesting that we often assume that everyone already understands it.
Exactly. We think that they get it, and honestly, it's not how it is. It takes a lot of time and effort to actually explain, sit down and explain. In fact, just last week, I was on a call with an investor. The investor was in Hawaii and he said, hey, Sanjay, I can make it at 6 o'clock my time, which is 12 o'clock your time. Would you be interested in doing it? Would you want to be on the call with me? I said, yeah. I got on the call at 12 a.m. with him and I was on call till like 2 a.m. It was like, but it was a good educational experience. Like, he was happy, and that's the key. At the end of the day, whether they invest with you or not, they took away something with them, right? Obviously, this gentleman did invest, but still at the end of the day, it's all about educating someone who takes away and goes away happy that, okay, I learned something today.
Right. I think that's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. And kudos to you for taking a call at midnight. I'm not sure I have the fortitude. I'm too old for that, I think, at this point. But no, clearly you're doing what it takes to get it done. So I love that. I love the grit. That's fantastic. Sanjay, let's wrap up here. If you were to help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
I think the first thing I would avoid is not trying to do things on my own. Work with a team who are really, really good. Don't try to think that you can do everything by yourself. And from a person who's just starting off in syndication, I'll definitely tell them, work with a good team, build a good team, and try to work with a solid team of people. And for investors, I would definitely tell them that, hey guys, do your due diligence, ask the right questions. You know, I saw, Sam, on your website, you have great things that you put together, like questions you need to ask your syndicators. That's a great thing. I would definitely encourage them to read these kind of things and do ask those questions. Those are hard questions. Sometimes you might feel that, okay, hey, it's not that hard. I can make it up, but that's not how it is. You do need to ask those questions.
Right. Absolutely. I love that. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Well, the thing is, at the end of the day, we make money for what? It's not only for us. We want to give back to the community. So I do believe in charity and helping people. So there are obviously Wounded Warriors are a big thing for me. I like to work with them. Obviously, cancer institution things are something that's very close to my heart. So obviously, philanthropy is a big part of the thing. So you want to give back to the community, whatever you make. So for me, I think do good to others, as they always say, right? When your earnings go up, your givings should go up as well.
So. Right. I love that. Sanjay, if our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Okay. So obviously, there are multiple ways to get in touch with me. You can always visit my website, www.blueringinvestors.com. I'm also there on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and on YouTube. I do put in a lot of educational information or videos on YouTube. But I definitely would encourage them to visit my website, which has got 9 reasons why you should invest in real estate. One is specifically for busy medical professionals, and the other is for busy professionals as such. So it's a good read. I would definitely encourage them to download those white papers and get more information. And I also have Calendly link over there so that if they need to, they can call me for no obligation. A phone call just to educate them on investments. It doesn't matter even if it is 12 a.m. I'll be there for them.
Sounds like it. That's fantastic. And for those of you who may be just listening only, because I think Sanjay speaks as fast as I do sometimes, that is Blue Ring Investors. Is that blueringinvestors.com? Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Sanjay, thank you so much for your time today. That was awesome. I do appreciate it. Best of luck to you, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.